Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I say praise the Lord, you give me hallelujah. Hallelujah, you give me an amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We are just so thankful to God for another time in his presence. There is nothing like being with God. And I know you know this by now. Yeah, Pastor Chris, thank you so much for this opportunity, board and elders and everyone, that I get to bring the word of God today. It's my prayer that we will encounter Jesus in all his beauty and in all his wonder, that we will be willing to lay down our lives for him, no matter the cost. Amen. For the past couple of weeks, we have been taking a journey through the Sermon of the Mount, and we have been blessed by the series of teachings by Pastor Chris, Monica, yeah, and others. And it's wonderful to hear these teachings from Jesus himself. And Jesus was teaching his disciples what it means, yeah, to be his disciples, what the kingdom of God is all about, the kind of lifestyle that is worthy for the children of the kingdom. So he took his time to teach them the nature of God's kingdom and how they can live their lives. It was important for Christ to do that because John 15:19 tells us, he tells his disciples, you are not of this world. You know, I have chosen you for myself. He has redeemed us. And scripture says that he has made us kings and priests unto God. Praise the Lord. So we belong to this kingdom whose ideals and ways and principles, characteristics are completely different from that of the world. And the overriding theme through it all is that Jesus reminded us of the righteousness that the Pharisees practiced, that the children of the kingdom shouldn't do. The Pharisees, we are told, they were men pleasers. They would do things to please men, but not God. The way they fasted, the way they prayed, the way they gave. And Jesus constantly told us that if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, then your righteousness should exceed that of the Pharisees. He was telling them that then whatever you have to do must come from the heart, must be for the eyes of God and not for the eyes of men. And today, he is teaching about yet another important thing that his disciples should know. And this is very sensitive because it's about money and it's about possessions. And I remember before I got married, my husband encouraged me to read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. How many of you have read that book? Okay, so The Richest Man in Babylon, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, all those books, because he just wanted me to be on the same page so far as finances are concerned with him, so that in terms of savings and organizing our financial life, how we can do that together. We just wanted to be on the same page. And so Jesus takes his time to teach us what it means to have money, the relationship between money, possessions, and himself. So I read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. It says that, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here Jesus teaches about the choices between two treasures, two visions, and two masters. So he was pointing to the same thing, but he taught this in short passages and narrows everything to that which is so critical to us. And that is the tension between God and the world. God and wealth, the flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5:17 says that the spirit was against the flesh and the flesh was against the spirit. So there is this tension that have faced the disciples of Jesus in pleasing God in their walk with him. And that is what Christ wanted to address. And verses 19 to 21 says that do not lay up treasures for yourself here on earth. In other words, don't be driven by the force of wealth, by the force of wealth accumulation and the things that have earthly rewards. Do not wear yourself. Do not let the longings of your heart and your desires go after those things. And he tells us why. Because moth eats them, rust destroys them, and thieves will break in and steal. According to Branagh, he says that the moth is the nature's corrosion that eats away our treasures. Rust has to do with time. And thief has to do with humans' corrosions. And all these together represent the insecurities that they come with life accumulation. So the nature of the treasures on earth is that they are not enduring. They are not lasting. They destroy. And because of the decay nature of these things, they always present to us anxieties and restlessness. The things of this world, the nature of treasures on earth, they have in them these possessive tendencies that can enslave a person. So Jesus wanted to warn us, to teach us that we need to know how important it is for our hearts to be set on him, on things that are on above. And isn't it true that earth's joys, they grow dim, they are not permanent? Isn't it true that the glories of this earth, they pass away? Isn't it true that all around us we see change and decay? All around us in all the things that, you know, are around us in the world. Today we see huge towers erected, and in few years it will come down.
We hear of earthquakes and fires destroying properties and the stock market, what is going on. And all these things bring anxiety. They are not enduring. And so for us as children of God, this place is not a dwelling place. This place, Peter tells us that it's not our home. Our home is heaven. And like Abraham, together we are all looking out for a city whose foundation is firm and whose builder and architect is God. We are all looking up for that city. And Jesus therefore counsels us that our ambitions, our life goals, all that we are seeking, we shouldn't focus. The goal shouldn't be to attain the glories that will not last, the things that will not last. Heavenly treasures do not destroy. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 to 24, there is this story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life? I want to have eternal life. What shall I do to inherit this?" And Jesus told him that, "Keep the commandments of God." And he said, "Which one?" And Jesus said that, "Do not murder, do not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness, honor your parent, love your neighbor as yourself." And he told Jesus, "I have kept all these commandments from my youth. What else should I do?" And Jesus told him, "Go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." Scripture says that this man went away so sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus said, it will be difficult for a rich man to go to heaven than for a camel to enter the eye of the needle. The rich man left. He couldn't accept what Jesus told him. He just couldn't comprehend it, to give away his riches for eternal life. His heart was rooted in his possessions. The matter is that Jesus is not against riches. No. Jesus is not against our hard work. He is not against, our savings and making investments towards the future. As a matter of fact, scripture says that he wished above all things that we will prosper and be in good health. One of the things that motivated me when I was growing up to pray for riches personally, to help people, was when I read about Abraham's story, that Abraham was rich in cattle and in livestock, and all God blessed him. So blessings are from God. They are not evil. But what is important for us to know is that the issue, the real issue, has to do with our priorities. It has to do with the end goal. To what end are we seeking those things? Is it for our glory? Is it that we will get fame? Is it that we will build for ourselves fortunes, and everything about our hearts will be rooted here on earth? Jesus teaches us that when our hearts are captivated by those things, then we cannot see what the kingdom of God has to offer us. Those things then become replacement. They become our source of joy. They become our source of happiness. We derive meaning and even our identity from those things. And Jesus says that we need to wholeheartedly give ourselves up to God. It is the heart that matters to God. The rich man couldn't comprehend this because his heart was rooted in the things of this world. And when our hearts are far away from God, we will seek him, but we will not find him. But scripture says that you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And Isaiah 29 verse 19 says that, you know, the people come to me. God was telling them, they come to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are just so far away. Where do you have your heart rooted? To what end is all that you are seeking? Jesus wants us to do this. He wants us to use the blessings that we have here on earth. We cannot take them to heaven, no. But we can use the wealth that he has blessed us with to prepare for the future. So our material resources, they will not pass from here to eternity. But we can make lasting, eternal, resources. We can make them last if we invest them in eternity. How do we do this? By giving, he told the rich man. And the kingdom of God, losing is gaining. But the world is not like that. For you to gain, you need to amass, you need to accumulate. But the kingdom of God, losing is gaining. When you give, you gain. One of my favorite missionaries of all time, Jim Elliot, says something that he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. It is about you giving. It is about you supporting the work of God, the work of the kingdom, responding to the needs of the poor, the vulnerable, winning souls, doing things that will please God and not man. So Jesus said that where your heart is, there your treasure also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So we need to guard our hearts with all diligence. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, therefore guard your hearts with all diligence, because out of it springs the issues of life. Out of your heart will direct the course of your life. So we need to be careful about our hearts. And Jesus goes on to tell us about our vision, the choice of vision. And he says that the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is this darkness? So naturally, light comes to us, through the eye. But what Jesus is talking about here right now connotes something, in the moral sense. He uses the eye metaphorically to address the condition of our heart. And in the Greek word, the good eye you know, connotes generosity and single-mindedness. The word that is used there connotes generosity and single-mindedness. So in other words, generosity will brighten you up. Being generous to others will make you shine. It will bring to your life happiness and contempt. Craig Keenan commented on this when he said that when the light of God is shining into one's life, a generous spirit is the result. And one will lighten up and the life of everyone around them. So it wouldn't be just about you, but it will be those around you also. Their light will lighten up. And this is what scripture tells us, that if the eye, our eye is good, then our body will be full of light. And so the opposite of good eye is bad eye, which means selfishness. So the bad eye, on the other hand, it's selfish, it's greed, covets, it's envious, lust after riches and possessions. And Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 9, verse 9 to 10, says that, but people who long to be rich, this is what happens to them. They fall into temptation and they are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. They plug themselves into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierce themselves with many sorrows. So this is the end of the person who goes after riches, pursuing riches. What Jesus is drawing our attention to is to use that which God has blessed us with to bless other people. We don't have to withhold those blessings. We need to open our hands up. And another definition or another connotation of the good eye, which is single-mindedness, has to do with our devotion, loyalty, undivided attention that we have for God in all that we do. God deserves our all. Bible says that he is a jealous God. So all our attention, all our devotion, all our loyalty must be given to him. He is God and God alone, and he shares his glory with no one. The person who has a good eye focuses on God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And that person pursues the things of God and has undivided commitment towards God. The double-minded person, the person with the bad eye, has divided attention and does not have wholehearted devotion. And scripture says that the double-minded person is as unstable. He is unstable in all his ways. We get into the heart of the matter, and Jesus told us about the two masters. You cannot love God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon, Craig Krina said that it is the wealth, the possessions, the property, and it pictures here the relationship that is between a slave and the master. So a slave can only belong to one master, ultimately, not two. And it is important for us to know that we cannot pledge our allegiance to God and the world. Our love for God must be wholehearted love for God. It shouldn't be half. So Jesus is telling us here that do not love the world, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things that is in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not from the Father. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God will abide forever. What is the goal that drives your heart? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Whatever you focus on, whatever is your goal, will determine the course of your heart, where your heart should go. You may have a laudable goal, but once that goal is rooted in the things of this world, it's rooted in fame, it's rooted in success, it's rooted in riches, it's rooted in wealth and possession, then we miss the mark. Our goals and our aspirations must be lodged in that relationship we have with God. So that in the end, when decay happens, you will not be disappointed. You will not be depressed. You will not be anxious. So Jesus is helping us by letting us know that God is interested in our wholehearted devotion. He wants our goals to center on him. When we love the things of this world more than him, then it becomes idolatry. And God cannot share his glory with anyone. This is the only way you and I can remain in him as his disciples. The only way we can flourish. The only way we can bear fruit. The only way we can be happy in this side of eternity is to have our goals, our aspirations rooted in him. To use all the giftings that he has blessed us with. To build for ourselves treasures in heaven. That is the call this morning that Jesus is giving you and I. For we cannot have both our hearts. We cannot have our hearts and our treasures in separate places. They must be at the same place. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. Children of God, Jesus gave his all for us. He gave everything so that you and I can have eternal life. What is it that you have that you did not receive from him? What do you possess that is possessing you? What is it that you have that is enslaving you? Mammon, the god of materialism, has that power to enslave us. And the more we long, we crave for the things of this world, the more the longings of our hearts, the more our treasures are getting rooted here, and we don't have a place with him in heaven. This morning, he is calling unto us. Jesus is appealing to our hearts, and he is telling us that set your minds on things that are above. Colossians 3:2 says that if you have been raised with Christ Jesus, then set your minds on things that are above, where Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand side of God. He is our ultimate treasure. He is our ultimate treasure. And Christ gave himself. God gave this love. God gave us forgiveness. He gave Jesus. He did not withhold his only son. What is it that is holding you up? What is it that you cannot release to God? Like the rich young man, he just couldn't release that to Jesus. His heart was rooted in the wrong place, because his goal, his ultimate goal, was rooted in the wrong place as well. And this is what scripture tells us, that for you and I, those of us who belong to Jesus, we belong to a new covenant. And 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 18 says that, teach those who are rich in the world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all things that we need to enjoy. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generosity to those who are in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. So that is what God is asking you and I to do. You can be poor and still have the God of this world, materialism, to be your master. It's not about being rich per se. And Jesus wasn't saying that it is good to, be poor. But the crux of the matter has to do with the heart and where your goals, what your goals are in this life, and what drives you, what motivates you in this life. May our motivation, be for him. And may our love be towards him. And may we be in that place where we will not withhold anything from the master, should he call on us to give it all to him. Because he is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. Like we sang this morning. He is worthy of it all. Something beautiful happened to me this morning. It's been my experience during the week when I was preparing for this sermon. So usually I have a song that comes to me. So when I stand here, I sing. Today I did not sing. You know why I did not sing? Because on Tuesday, a friend of mine, I'm on this WhatsApp page, posted a song, and I listened to the song, and I was like, this song is really great. And that was Holy Forever what we sang today. And I sent it to my husband and few friends. And it's been my experience this week, been worshiping with the song. And I said to myself, if I have any way of requesting the band to sing a song, it will be this particular song. I didn't know that Wes was going to do that song. So praise be to Jesus that Wes sang my song for me. I just want to praise God for this. And as I was in service, I was like, what a miracle that you have given me. Whatever it is, Lord, that you wanted to point to, I know that you are up to something big. But it's all that our hearts will be turned to him forever. He is holy, the name that is above every other name. He is the Lamb who is worthy of our worship. Let's pray. I just want you to examine your hearts right now. What is possessing your life? What is it that you cannot give up for God? Where is your heart? What drives you? Jesus, we just want to give you praise. And we just want to thank you for being so mindful of us and teaching us that even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. And that you want our hearts to be rooted, to be set on you. Lord, we surrender it all to you, and we ask that may you visit our hearts, and may you cause our hearts, oh God, to tend to you. Whatever is holding us back for loving you wholeheartedly, whatever is threatening our devotion to you, Lord, we pray and we ask that deliver us from them all. We thank you for this, that our hearts will be set on you and you alone. We praise you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.